Desire your prayers this afternoon. I have a message. If I preached it in fullness in one service, it takes us about 2 hours to do that. But don't get excited. I don't plan to do that. But we need the Lord to help us. We need the Lord to have mercy on us. Let's go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 is where we'll get started at. This is the subject that there's a minister been preaching a number of years right in the Guthrie pulpit. The first message she ever preached was preached on this subject right here. I can't tell you a whole lot of what she said, but I do remember the subject. And that was Sister Angela Gillenbeck. She got married, and about a month after she got married, she preached the first message. And she preached on this subject. It's a subject that I feel is a very serious. Something that you and I need to delve into, because it's what will help you and I all down through our life. If we can tap in, have faith in, get a hold of this, it's going to be something that can bless you over and over and over. It's something that He wants you to get a hold of. It's something that He wants you to have great faith in, because He wants to give you by this exactly what you need, but it's this right here that gets it to you. All right, 62nd Psalm, and about the 11th verse, it said, God spoken once, twice, have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Now I want to talk about the power of God. Brother Marvin made a statement or two about the power of God this morning. 66 of Psalms, and about the 7th verse, it says, He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations, and let not the rebellious exalt themselves. We got plenty of Kleenex boxes, but we need to get some new dry erase bins. So he says here, I need some water. Can somebody go get me some water? I don't know why there's not any up here, but I need a little water, please. He said here, God has spoken once, twice. Have I heard this? That power belongeth unto God. Now, you and I have probably heard on this subject many times down through your life. If you live for God very long, you've heard that God is power. He is power. But the bottom line is, a lot of times we have to hear it, study it, think about it, meditate on it to get to the depths of it, because the devil doesn't want you and I to get a hold of the very fact that God is power. He's got all power, and He wants that power to be shared with you. He wants to use that power to bless you and to work with you and to help you. And you and I have a power source that we can tap into that's going to be a great blessing. So Lord, help us this afternoon. Lord, help us this afternoon to get a hold of that. That God, He said, power belongeth. There is no power that will get close to this power. He's the ultimate in power. So consequently, we have the source. All we have to do is to get a hold of it, so to speak, to pray. And ask the Lord, Lord, I need You to work. I need that help. And sometimes we look at things and it looks like a big mountain. Listen, folks, He's been moving mountains for years. He can take them down, cast them in the sea. He's got all power to do anything. There's not anything He cannot do this afternoon. But you and I need to get a hold of. In one place it said, I lift up mine eyes in the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He made all of this. He created all of this. He created you and I. He put us in the place we're at. He's ordered our lives. He has blessed us and helped us and kept us. And it's done by the power of God. And He wants you, He wants to help you this afternoon.
What is your needs this afternoon? What are you reaching out for? Why did you come to this meeting? Why are you here? Are you here to socialize? You here to chase a boy or a girl? Are you here to do one thing or another? I'm going to tell you this afternoon, God wants you to hear. He wants you to get a hold of. He wants you to understand that power belongeth unto God. And that power is something that will help you all down through life. And if you and I will tap into that, pray for it and receive it, it'll be something that'll bless you. Power belongeth unto God. Oh, this afternoon, Lord, help us to get a hold of this. All right, let's go to Nahum. Nahum 1. The first chapter of Nahum, about the first verse, Nahum 1 and 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. Jesus, or God, is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. But then it said, the Lord is slow to anger. He's great in power. He will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, he maketh it dry, he drieth up all the rivers, Bashan and languishing and Carmel and Flyer of Lebanon languishing. The mountains quake at him. Hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire. His rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood, he'll make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be fodden together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Now, he said here, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. Now, the wicked said, the Bible in about 3 John, I think it is, 2nd or 3rd John, the very last verse of that chapter, he said that the wrath of God abides on sinners or the wicked every day. It's on them. But he said he's slow to anger. Listen, folks, you think about the fact that a person that has a lot of power needs a lot of patience. Because if he's a man or a woman that's given with a lot of power and he's given to a lot of anger, he's a very dangerous individual. But God has a lot of mercy. He's slow to anger. He's great in power. But it said he will not at all acquit the wicked. If they're going to adhere in their way, if they're going to pursue the ways that they do, he's going to do with them what he will. And he's got the power to do with them that nobody else does. They may think that they've got the world by the tail. I was in a hospital one time visiting a man, and he told me, he said, I thought I had the world by the tail, and then he got a gallbladder problem, I think it was, and that began to bring him down quite a bit. The bottom line is today, the Lord's not going to quit the wicked. He's going to punish them and deal with them and work with them. He's going to try to save them before he destroys them, but the bottom line is, he's great in power, and he can do with them what he will. Then it said, the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind. And in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. How many of you have ever seen a tornado? How many of you have ever seen a hurricane? How many of you have ever felt an earthquake? God controls all of this. He has got his way in the tornadoes. There had been many, many times down through the years that one of them has been headed straight for somebody's house, and the Lord has had mercy in answer to prayer and turned it, lifted it or whatever, and caused it to go around or not damage that house. He has done things miraculous down through the years by His power in tornadoes. In 2000, I guess it was, when we was in South Carolina, Floyd was a huge hurricane coming up the East Coast. It was a monster. It had winds of 155 mile an hour plus. It had waves in the ocean going 40 foot high. It was a mean storm. It had people all the way from the Keys all the way north. I don't know how far. And they were scared. They actually, so many people got on I-26 and 95 that it locked the interstate up there in South Carolina. And they was playing football at the side of the road because nobody could go anywhere. They were fleeing. They were scared. I heard him say with my own mouth, because Hugo had come through just about 10 years, I think it was 1989, Hugo had come in. Hugo had been out into the ocean, and it had been going along parallel with the deal, but it made a turn out, and then it turned around, and it come and slammed straight into South Carolina, and it done a lot of damage. So people, when this thing was going up the East Coast, amen, I've heard them make the statement. They said, I was a fool the first time. I'll not be a fool the second time. There's no way I'm going to stay. I'm getting out of Dodge. I'm leaving here. I'm not going to stay and go through a second one. Well, some of us in the congregation got together and we started praying. And we said, Lord, we need your help. We need you to do something. And he did. First off, he took and he dropped the speed down a number of miles an hour. Then he took and he bumped it out into the ocean more to the east. And so consequently, when it went by us there in South Carolina, it didn't have the impact. We had winds of about 80 mile an hour in Charleston, about 40 mile an hour there where we lived, about 50 miles inland. But it didn't have the impact it would have at 150 mile an hour. The Lord has His way. The Lord is there. If you've got a storm headed your way, He can change it. I have watched Him change weather. I've seen Him. I've had, been in place, was going from Kentucky one time down to Alabama, and every report that I got, and that's before we had cell phones and the radar screens that you can pull up and look at all of it. And every report I got, it got worse. Started out it was going to be this much and then this much, and it got worse. And the more I heard, the scarier I got. I thought, well, darling, we may not get out of here in the morning. But we prayed and we asked for prayer, and we got up the next morning, had a whiff of snow on the ground, and we left and headed south. The Lord can change it. He can move it. He has no problem with doing anything that He needs to be done, because He's got the power to move it right, left, or straight ahead, so to speak, or lift it, or stall it, or whatever. I've seen Him stall storms up. I've seen Him take it and move them around, and all because of His power. You and I can't do that except through Him. When we need prayer, or when we need help in a situation like this, all right, I understand. Brother Philip Kelly and them, they had a huge fire out to the west, northwest there. And I understand that that fire was headed straight for. What were they doing? They requested prayer. Sent it out. A number of saints were praying. And they said there that it got up, I think, within about a mile of the house. The winds changed, blowing it to north, turned and blew it back to the south. And He spared them. It takes God to do that kind of stuff. But He's got the power. I want to encourage you in this message this afternoon that no matter what your need might be, no matter how big it is, how small it is, or how in between it is, the bottom line is, if you need something this afternoon, He's well able to give it to you. Praise God. He created you. He created everything around you. He's still creating things, and He can do anything He needs to do in a moment's time. Power belongeth unto God. Heard this the first time and the second time. Now you're hearing it the third and fourth time. Power belongeth unto God. Oh, He rebuked the sea. He made it dry. They were running for all they had. The Pharaoh and them was behind them. And they were there and they didn't know what they were going to do. And he got down and he prayed. And the Lord said, take and reach out and touch. And he did. And the waters opened up and they went across on dry ground. And then Pharaoh decided to follow them. And they went out and he just closed it in and drowned every one of them. Oh, today, what power. What do you need him to do in this meeting? There have been people that have been burdened with things and troubled with things for years, have struggled under it, and I can't get victory, and I need help. But I'm going to tell you this afternoon, if you can ever touch the hem of his garment, folks, he's got the power to touch you and heal you right then. There's no ifs and ands and buts about it. He's got the power that he can use in your favor and help you over and over. Let's go to John, the 10th chapter. St. John, the 10th chapter, and about the 14th verse, I think it is. St. John 10 and 14. I'm the good shepherd. Know my sheep, known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I want you to think, because this whole power, everything about Christ is set up on one thing, basically. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Lord had a power of life and death that nobody else has got. Now, I could be wrong with what I'm fixing to say, but I don't think I'm too far off. When somebody loses a companion that they love very dearly, for a good while after they lose them, they like to die and go on. They lose, in a sense, almost you lose the desire to live. Because of the heavy grief and the pain and the anguish, you'd just like to go on and join them. But you can't do it. You can't just lay your life down like Christ did. There was somebody talking to me. They had been doing some comforting with somebody, and they made the statement that he said, Brother Carl, said that person literally would curl up on the couch and die if it wasn't for the grandchildren. They had no reason to live. They had been married to this person for a long time. They loved them dearly. I knew the type of marriage they had. I know both couples in the marriage. I had great respect for them. I've worked with them for years. And the bottom line is, here's the thing. They were lost without their companion. And they wanted to just die and go on too. I did. But folks, you can't do that. There's not anybody in here who's got the power. You can commit suicide, but I'm talking about just will yourself to live. You just lay down and die. You can't do that. There's one man that can do it, or did it. And that man's power, he said he loves me because I lay down my life. God didn't force this thing. They put this plan of salvation together many, many, many years ago. And then at the exact moment, Jesus descended and come and was born of a virgin. And from that point on, he set the whole thing in motion. But the whole thing was finalized and captivized for the very fact that he laid his life down and he had the power to take it up again. This power that he has, the bottom line is whole set on the resurrection. It's set in place. You'll see this as we go through the scripture. It keeps referring back to this very point right here of the resurrection, how that he laid it down, but he took it up again. Praise God. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and 24. God has power. But then he shifted the power to the Son, where the Son has power also. 1 and 24 of 1 Corinthians, he said, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. All right, Matthew 28 and 18, I'm going to quote that. He said there and said, unto me is given all power in heaven and earth. Then in Romans, the first chapter, and the one of Romans, I get it right. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by, here it just says it, by the resurrection from the dead. By whom we all have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken up throughout the whole world. Now then, he said, declare. God and Christ made the plan. Jesus said, I'm ready to go anytime. So he left and he come down, was born of the Virgin Mary. And then he said he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now Christ was Christ, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. And he said there by the resurrection. Again, like I said, that's what set it into place right there. Because he had to do exactly that for you and I to be resurrected from the dead. Not only spiritual resurrection, but the physical resurrection. He had to have that power. He had to set it in place, cement it, so to speak, where that when the time come that you and I come to him in a dead state of sin, we needed help, we needed to be saved and born again and resurrected, however you want to say it. He had the power to reach down no matter how deep we were. There is people that are in the very mully grub, in the very bottom, in the bottom of the barrel, however you want to say it. But the bottom line is, I don't care how far down they are. He's got the power to resurrect. He's got the power to save, to strengthen, to bless, to lift. Everything they need, he can do it because he has the power according to the resurrection from the dead. And then when it gets time for the resurrection and the judgment, you and I can be resurrected. I don't care if they're out in the ocean. I don't care if a fish has swallowed them up. I don't care if they're in a urn or buried or where they might be. When it comes time for the resurrection, there will be a resurrection of that body. And Jesus Christ has the power, no matter what the situation, to bring a person up and out. And he will do with them what it will be done. So he's got that power to do it. I am thankful for the power of the resurrection today. Aren't you thankful for what he's done for you? Aren't you thankful for his saving you, blessing you, doing with you what he will? And he done it because of the power, the Spirit of holiness, and by the resurrection from the dead. All right, let's go to Mark 12 and 24. We'll be through here in a little bit. We won't hold you a long, long time here. At least I don't think I will. Mark 12 and 24 through 27 is another. No, I want to drop back. I want the 18, 12 and 18. Then coming to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, they ask him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die, and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died and left no seed. Second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise, and the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. Now I've heard of people being married two and three times, but this is seven times. That's a lot of marriages. And it said in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said to them, do you not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore do greatly err. Now, he said here, Do you not therefore err because you know not the scriptures? They didn't understand. They didn't know. They didn't get a hold of this. But then he said, neither the power of God. And the very thing that set this in place is the very thing they was discounting, the resurrection. The Sadducees are sad because they don't accept the resurrection. So the very thing that could help them is the very thing that they're throwing out or are rejecting. All right, now then, he said, neither the power. Lord, help us. The Lord wants us to know about the power of God. What is the first time that you ever prayed and sought God and really realized there was a God? How old was you? What was the experience? What happened? Right then, he began to cement into your life a personal relationship. You didn't have it right then. Well, you had it as a child, I guess. And you might have gone back in sin later. But the bottom line is, did you get away from that? Mine was about 5 or 6 years old. And I had taken a pipe. And I had taken this pipe and I had thrown it like a boy's will. And I threw it like that. And it went spinning over and over. And it come down and it hit one of my mother's dogs in the head. And it done some damage. And I knew I was in big trouble, folks. I knew Mama could really tan my hide on that one. And I thought it was going to die. And I didn't know much about God. I didn't know much about His power. But I knew there was a God. My daddy's father was a Baptist preacher. I knew there was a God. And I started praying and begging and pleading. And do you know the Lord touched that dog, healed that dog, and it never even went to the vet, and it was normal all the rest of his life. God. That's something that's still with me. I don't remember exactly what my age was. I'm 65. So let's say 60 years. It's still with me. That experience, the power of God. That He done something for a child. Listen, folks, He likes to do things for children. He wants to bless them. He wants to help them. Teenagers, you're not ruled out neither. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to lift you, encourage you, save you, sanctify you, and use you and do things for you. He wants to do that for you. He wants to do it by His power. I want to tell you this afternoon, you and I need to get acquainted with the power of God. Praise the Lord. Now, several months ago, I don't remember just how long, well, I've been about a year, I guess, because it was before the Myrtle meeting. My brother and sister-in-law, Craig and Debbie Schaefer, went with me or met me, and we went down to a museum in Oklahoma City. And they had about 17 very expensive old cars down there. Matter of fact, some of them were so rare they might have been one other of that particular car in the whole world. That's how valuable these cars were. And they were beautiful. Got pictures on my phone. I can show them to you. All the way from Corvettes, all the way down to very, very old cars that have been restored and put in pristine condition. And they put them out there in different areas of this museum and they allowed people to come through and look at them. Well, no matter how pretty they are, if you took the engine out of them and set it over to the side, how good would it be to you? You can't drive it anywhere. You can't pull anything with it. You can't do anything except look at it and maybe sit in it. I guess if you had a battery, it'd turn the radio on, listen to that. But the bottom line is without the power source, really useless to you and I. How many cars are sitting out in junkyards today because the engine failed in them and they didn't replace it? There's thousands of them all over this nation. Well, this is not totally because of power, but out in the state of California, one time we topped a hill and down below us was a huge airline graveyard. It's used by every major airline and they bring their planes out there and they park them and leave them there. It's a graveyard, a boneyard for airplanes is what it is, and there was numbers of them out there. Well, if you take this power source and just set it aside and never do anything with it, it won't help you. That's the reason I want you to get a hold of what value this is. The value of the power of God to you and I. And it's not just of a little power. It's not just of a medium power, it's of great power. Listen today, sometimes we buy machinery, big tractors, and different things, even big jet airplanes. Listen, the airlines learned at one point that they didn't have to have such huge jets with a gas guzzling engine, so to speak, to take five people across the country. So they got the regional jets and they downsized and it helped their profit in town. But the bottom line is, if we take and we buy something that has way more power than we need, it takes way more fuel to run it than we need to use, we're actually damaging ourselves. But in this case here, folks, the bottom line is, we sometimes are going to need every ounce of power we can get, and God's got it for you and I. He can take and do what nobody else can do, and He can do it so fast that it can make your head swim, so to speak. Oh, He said here, neither you know not the Scriptures nor the power of God. When I was sick in 1987, I was down about, I spent 3 weeks at Brother Salmon's, 5 weeks at Brother Williams, that's 8 weeks. And then I was sick about a week and two before that, and it actually started in Myrtle, which was the first part of August, right after Monarch. So I was down quite a while. And what do you think I was doing when I was sick? I was suffering a lot. But the bottom line is, I wanted to sit right at the feet of Jesus and nestle just as close as I could. I wanted to be healed. I wanted to live. I'd resigned that if it was the will of the Lord to take me, that's fine. But my wife, when I made a statement one time, I just want to die and get out of here, that alarmed her with a 2-month-old baby. She wasn't too happy with that statement. But the bottom line was, I wanted to touch. I wanted to know. I wanted to be involved with this power. I didn't totally know what was wrong with me. We've got some idea, but I never saw a doctor. I had an infection. It evidently was in my stomach. And the doctor told my sister-in-law and told my sister, said, it sounds like he's got an infection. And if he don't get it out, he's going to kill him. Well, the Lord got it out. He used His power and He got it out. I was marveled. Others around that know of it, they marveled at what He'd done. But His power delivered me and brought me back and has used me for a number of years now that I should have been dead when I was 34 years old. It's His power. I wanted to know more about God. And I'm going to tell you, when I was sitting there and sitting quiet, some of the most greatest glory I've ever had in any of my life with God was at that time. Some people want to say, well, it don't do any good to trust in the Lord. I beg you to pardon. I'm going to tell you, there's some special blessings when you're so full of the presence of God that you're shouting and crying and about to explode. There's something good about that, praise God. And the very things that He taught me, the closeness that I had with the very workings. Listen, folks, you need to know about the power of God. He's saying these people don't know the Scripture and they don't know it. There's a lot of people that don't know the power of God. But I want to encourage you this afternoon, get acquainted with, know, understand, pull from, receive the power that'll bless you over and over and over. He wants to use that power for you. He wants to bless you. Oh, this afternoon, Lord help us. He wants to bless you. Do you know that power? Are you acquainted with that power? How well do you know that power? Cynthia Ann and I went looking for a car one time. Both my daughters was on a Mustang binge, and they wanted a Mustang car. Well, we went looking, and Cynthia and I stopped at a used car dealer, and he had a Mustang GT. I don't remember what the year was, but it was a pretty new car. Of course, they have big old V8s in them and have a lot of power. And so I let her drive it first, and she went through the gears and went on down, drove it down the road a little bit. And then that thing was talking to me, folks. I said, I want to drive it. So we switched drivers at a funeral home parking lot, best I remember. And I'm going to tell you what, I had a hard time keeping my foot out of that. I knew what that power was. Cynthia knew there was power too, but I knew more than she did because I was there when the Mustang was created or invented, however you want to say it. I was there. I knew what it was like. I've seen the men, one man in particular, that had a 428 Cobra Jet Mach 1. Beautiful machine. And he ripped that thing up and got on it, and it burned him tires and smoke went everywhere. I knew what that power was. Do you know the power of God this afternoon? Do you know how powerful He is? Do you understand the depths and the width of it? Do you know what He can do for you this afternoon? Are you wanting to know more about it? I beg you to get the depths of it as much as you can. Well, I got behind the wheel. And Brother Marvin, I was pretty good to myself. Ain't got no ticket. But I could hear that engine. And it talked to me. I want to stir your minds up to hear the power of God. Through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, I want you to get to something and say, I want more of that, praise God. I don't want to just kind of get around the edges. I want to wade out into the deep. I want to get to know all about this power through the Word by the Spirit, whereby that I can use it when I need it and the Lord will give it. All right, let's go to Isaiah 40. We got a little bit of reading here. We're about through. Isaiah 40, and let's read here about the 12th verse. We'll read from there at the end of the chapter. Who had measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord or being his counselor, taught him. With whom took he counsel? Who instructed him, taught him in the path of judgment, taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding. Behold, look at, consider. I'm going to tell you folks, we need to behold the power of God this afternoon. The nations are as a drop of a bucket, counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations are before him as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth the grain of image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he had no oblation chooseth a tree that it will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning craftsman to prepare a graven engine that shall not be moved. But have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Now this thing goes way on back. It is he that set upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, as a curtain and spread them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth all their host by number, calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. For what sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Now then, says, has you not known? Has thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint, be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That right there is a famous scripture in the Bible. But the context of that, when you read this, the nations are a drop of a bucket, counted as a small dust of the balance. He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. How many of you have flown in a jet?
You get up so high, man don't even exist, so to speak. You can't even see them.
You can't even see the cars when you get high enough.
You can sometimes see houses or maybe big buildings and so forth. You go over cities, you can see some things. But the main thing you see when you're 35, 40,000 feet in the air is the land. And the farmers that farm that land. I don't mean the farmers themselves, but they've made the fields. And there's some beautiful, beautiful fields planted to the west of Oklahoma, back out in Texas and that away. And beautiful farming out there. And here you're sailing high. My daughter decided to surprise Dad and Delaney back in December. And she kept telling me she wasn't coming out there. So I flew out there. Cynthia, I got me a rental car and got me an Airbnb and got set up and had no idea Donna was planning to come in. And so Cynthia told me, said, we got to go to Charlotte this morning. Said, I got to get a Christmas present for Derek's dad. It's a wood tool and the only place God is up there in Charlotte. I didn't know. I just accepted what she said. And we was driving along. And I happened to look up, and here we're pulling into the Charlotte International Airport. And I thought, what are we doing here? And she kind of, we popped over here, and there stood my six-foot daughter right down there. And Donna made a statement, and I've never had this happen in all the times I've flown, which has been a number, especially in the last 4 years. But she said they got up into an airstream with a power behind them, and she said that jet was doing 765 miles an hour. That's what the pilot told them. And they were flying, I don't remember what the altitude was. But they were sailing. Folks, I don't care how big the engines are, I don't care how big the jet is, I don't care how fast it flies, it is mighty small to nothing in the eyes of God. God setteth on the circle of the earth. Habitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Stretches out the heavens as a curtain. Spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princesses to nothing. He maketh the judges of earth as vanity. And then he goes on down here. And it said, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his power. For that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. In other words, what this is saying, he has the whole universe, and it keeps in perfect sync time because of his power. Not just us, but ever star, ever planet, everything that's out there is controlled by the power of God, day in and day out. How many of you have ever watched the ocean, the high tides and the low tides? Have you ever watched that? Do you realize that the ocean comes in, and what controls it is the power of God? If he didn't stop it, it'd overflow everything. But he puts a stop to it, and he holds it. I watched it be up and down. You can see it going down 95, going south into Florida. And I've seen it many times going down around Brunswick and down in there. There's a certain spot in particular, and you can see the discoloration, where it comes up, where it goes down. I've watched it numbers of times down when I lived there. And the bottom line is God controls all of that. If he controls that, if he runs everything out there, he also controls our lives. And you say, well, I need help. He knows that, and he knows how to give it to you by his power. What do you need this afternoon? Why are you here? The Lord wants to bless you this afternoon. He wants to bless you in this meeting. Said he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. How many of you can do that? I like to help people, but I never have been able to give them any power. I can give them counsel. I can pray with them. He can give them power. But you and I don't have the power to do that. It's not within our jurisdiction. But he gives power to the faint. Are you faint? He can give you power. And all that had no mind, he can increase the strength, praise God. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, this afternoon, what are you lacking? What do you need? The Lord wants to bless you.
He wants to help you this afternoon. All right, about three more places. Psalm 63:1. Psalm 63:1 to go along with that there. He said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So have I seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Now some people say, well, you can stay home and watch them preachers preach on TV and you don't have to go to church. Here's why you need to be in meeting, to see the power of God in the sanctuary. To know what God can do. There is multiple blessings in coming to meeting and being in service, whether it be Wednesday night, Sunday morning, revival meetings, camp meetings, assembly meetings, no matter what it is, for you and I to have the privilege to see the power in the sanctuary where He's working, where He's healing, where He's saving and sanctifying, where He's doing things that you actually are awed by the very power of God. Right here in this sanctuary a number of years ago, what happens, it happened at least twice. The presence of God come down so rich that nobody wanted to move. The babies even got quiet. I watched them. I sat up there, wife and I were sitting up there, and we observed it. She said, Carl, nobody wants to leave here. It was so rich. It was so beautiful. And the people were testifying and praising God and rejoicing. It was one of the richest times that you could have sitting in the very presence of God in a church service anywhere. I don't think we even had preaching. Maybe we did. Maybe this was after preaching. It'd been several years ago. But the bottom line was God was here. And you can feel it. You can see it, so to speak. I'm going to tell you this afternoon, the Lord wants to show you His power in the sanctuary. He wants to show you and He wants to bless you. All right, let's wrap up. The 12th chapter of Luke. 12th chapter of Luke and also the 10th chapter of Matthew. Here is the most two serious of scriptures in this whole message. 12 and 5 of Luke. It said, but I will forewarn you whom you shall hear, fear whom you shall fear, fear him. Which after he had killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And then Matthew, the 10th chapter, says something like this, a little bit different. It said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body. This man named Jesus Christ has the power. He shall say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He's got the power to totally sever a person and send them out into hell. Nobody has that kind of power. He's the only one that can do it. I pretty well know this for a fact too, but the bottom line is he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to cast people into hell. He doesn't want to say, depart from me, you cursed. He does not want to do that. He died that everybody could go to heaven. But when you reject him, when you reject his blood, when you reject everything that is the points A and B to save and sanctify, he will say, depart. And he's got the power to do it. We need to fear him. We need to fear such power. Such glory, such strength, we need to fear Him. I appreciate your time, attention.